Let's pray. Help us, O God, to hear you today. Words that seem sometimes very unrealistic, hopeful, a North Pole to aim for, but sometimes we wonder even then if it's words we can follow. But by your Spirit, allow these old words to take on new life, and allow that new life to be found in each one of us this day. Amen. As I mentioned in my prayer, Jesus offers words today that I think by most accounts and most people would find them, maybe we could just simply say idealistic. Jesus says, and this is what's called the Sermon on the Plain as compared to the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus says, love your enemies, bless and pray for your enemies. And I'm tempted to say, if I could, back to Jesus, I'm not sure what he would say in response, I'm tempted to say, thank you very much, Jesus, for those words to live by. I'm sure they were well-intended, and I'm sure that they worked well back in Galilee, with a little bit of snicker even then. But I would be tempted also to say, we don't live back then, and we don't live in Galilee. And that doesn't seem to be the way in which we live right now in this world. If anything, we all are encouraged and we're brought up to outwit our enemies. We're encouraged to outmaneuver those who are adversaries to us. We want to pile on those who oppose us for whatever reason, or if they even intend to do harm to us, maybe not physically, but maybe by reputation. We are taught in this world of ours now in the 21st century, we're taught to be strong. And maybe we'll simply have to tell Jesus that we'll have this idea that he has of loving our enemies. We'll have to put that on our long-term goal list. But right now, that's going to be kind of hard for most of us to follow. And I have to tell you today that in a certain sense I feel compelled to preach on this scripture, but there's also a sense in me in which I'm tempted not to preach on these words about how we're supposed to love our enemy. I had a preaching professor who said that the less amount of times that the word love is spoken during the sermon, the better the sermon. And there was a little bit of tongue-in-cheek there, but I think there was a real point to what he was trying to get across, because we all know from our own experience that we bandy about the term love a lot in our world. And I guess it's always been that way. You turn to like Bartlett's Book of Quotations, or you turn to a biblical concordance and look up the word love, and you'll find that under love is probably some of the largest entries, a lot of sources that are found in those books. But Jesus did not say, feel about others as you would feel about yourself. But rather, Jesus said, do unto others what you would have them do unto you. It's not so much about feeling. We're not talking sentiment here. It's about doing. It's about making a conscious effort of how we live our lives. And love, I think, by Jesus today is that effort that's intended to benefit the other person. Love is the effort that is intended to benefit the other person. So how do we do that to our enemies? And today, I want to just simply share with you two, I think, kind of concrete ways in which we might be able to love, or at least come to love, our enemies. The first suggestion seems maybe kind of something you wouldn't expect. It is to love yourself. To love yourself. And you might ask yourself, well, what does loving oneself have to do with loving an enemy? I think we can all understand that in whatever circumstances we find ourselves in our lives, I think we can all understand that we may have a competitor, we might have an adversary. We may not label that person an enemy per se, but there are people who are, at least see themselves in competition with us. And yet, few of us realize that we also have another enemy, another adversary, and that person is found within ourselves. Not the person on the outside, but in ourselves. Paul Tournier, who is a French psychotherapist, says, he wrote, for example, about the inner enemy that contradicts what our outer self portrays to other people. This is the person inside of ourselves who thinks the thoughts that we think but we never would show on the outside. This is the person deep inside of us who has urges, who has feelings that we dare not express openly. Because to do so would to throw into jeopardy the whole role that we have portrayed ourselves to be on the outside. This inner adversary, this enemy, or sometimes you might say the shadow inside of ourselves, is the person that we try to hide from other people because either we worry that they might reject us, or we are afraid that nobody would want to be with us any longer. Jesus said, love your enemy, bless and pray for your enemy. I really am convinced, although I have to admit I don't always walk this walk like I should, I really have to believe in my heart that this is the ultimate way to wholeness and to wellness. Not only for ourselves individually, but I think for our nation, for our world. Because the outer enemies that we create of those people who oppose us sometimes are just a projection of those enemies that we face inside of ourselves. The people who we make out to be enemies in the outside world that we face sometimes are simply reflections of those shadows inside of ourselves. I think every pastor at some point or other comes to realize that each person he or she is with, each person that he or she ministers to or becomes acquainted with, each person has their own shadows. Each person has things about themselves that they are not happy with and that they're embarrassed to know about and to experience. But it's not peculiar to any one person. It is something that is real for each one of us. Facing those things inside of ourselves is something that I think all of us dread. All of us don't want to face. But If we can begin to embrace that other inside of ourselves, if we are free, a little bit more free, to accept ourselves as we are, I think we are on our way to accepting other people as they are. Second suggestion, love God. Love God. The author of all life, but also at the same time, the author of your life. The scripture says that God is love. God is that spark of life and love that is presented to us in the scriptures as a loving parent, as a loving mother, as a heavenly father, whose arms are outstretched, whose arms are beckoning us to come forward, just as Jesus' arms were outstretched on the cross, inviting the world, inviting even our enemies to come and to enter the grace and the mercy and the justice that is divine love. Love of God, love of your neighbor as yourself. You might call it, or at least I might call it today, the divine trifecta. Just like we celebrated in our baptism with Alex this morning, there are commitments made in this baptismal service. There are relationships formed. The relationship between Alex, by way of mom and dad, with God, and also the relationship that we have as a congregation and the responsibilities we have as a congregation to be a part of Alex's life, to be helping him to grow in the faith and as a person. And as our relationship with God, we're given the strength and the wisdom to do just that. That is love expressed in very concrete ways. And whenever you begin, or wherever you begin in this process, at whatever point, whatever standpoint you come from, whether you need it in your head first or whether you need to experience it first, it doesn't really matter. Wherever you begin in this process of love, the Holy Spirit will take you through this divine trifecta: yourself, God, others. Yourself, God, and others. It is a kind of the opening of the heart to God. Each time I kind of peruse through the book of sermons that I have of Martin Luther King Jr., I am always moved by his grace and his intellect. These are words that King preached at his church, the Dexter Avenue Baptist Church, during the height of the Civil Rights Crisis. And it was about a year before his last sermon there, before he was assassinated. This is what he says. And this says a lot about speaking to your enemy. He says, "To my most bitter opponents, we say, we shall match your capacity to inflict suffering by our capacity to endure suffering. We shall meet your physical force with soul force. Do to us what you will, and we shall continue to love you. We cannot, in good conscience, obey your unjust laws, because non-cooperation with evil is just as much a moral obligation as is cooperation with good. Throw us in jail, we will still love you. Send your livid perpetrators of violence into our communities at the midnight hour and beat us and leave us half naked, but we will still love you. But be ye assured that we will wear you down by our love and our capacity to suffer. One day we shall win our freedom, but not only for ourselves, We shall so appeal to your heart and conscience that we shall win you in the process, and thus our victory will be a double victory. There is something about the mystery of the New Testament in those words of King. Friends, Jesus said, love your enemies, pray, and bless your enemies. Maybe this week we can make those impractical words of Jesus just a little bit more concrete in our daily living. And the people said, amen.